ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hello, happy Tuesday, and welcome to ShareCare Radio. It's Dr. Daria. Let's dive into health news of the week. And remember, if there's anything you hear today that you want to catch later, you can always download it on demand at RadioMD.com. So the first one is about the bird flu story. I know if you've been watching the news, you've been hearing about bird flu in the Midwest. A lot of people are wondering, should I be scared? Is this going to be something that could threaten us? Or is this the news and the media making a big deal out of it? And so I really wanted to dive into that today. So what is it? The bird flu epidemic right now has killed millions of birds in the Midwest, particularly egg-laying hens and turkeys. But there's no evidence that the bird flu strain has infected any humans, according to the CDC and USDA, of this current strain that we're seeing. So they're stressing that there's a low likelihood that the virus will spread to humans. Now, contact with sick birds has gotten people in other countries sick with the viruses similar to the current one, but no poultry workers in contact with the current birds have shown any signs of illness yet. Now, these viruses can mutate over time. The influenza viruses have a great capacity to mutate and swap genes with human flu viruses to be able to infect humans. So for that reason, the CDC is researching a human vaccine should the need arise if this virus strain were to infect humans. For now, the CDC is recommending, you know, if you're around any wild birds or their droppings, it's good common sense. Keep your distance from the birds, keep your distance from the droppings, especially if you see one that looks ill. This is not a time, if you see a sick bird on the street, not a time for little munchkins to go try to resuscitate it or take care of it. Leave that bird alone. If you own chickens, avoid contact if they appear sick. Infected birds often tend to stop eating, kind of like a sick person. They may become lethargic and die within only a few hours. And when eating poultry or eggs, as always, it's important to eat it thoroughly cooked. And that's for due to bird flu or any other variety of infections it can carry in chickens and poultry. So if you're cooking it thoroughly, the CDC is saying that it poses no threat to causing you to become infected with the bird flu. So as of now, this is not something we're worrying about. Anyone else who's not in direct contact with birds, don't need to be worried about catching it from somebody else. We'll keep an eye on it and see what happens as we get near flu season. But for now, that is where we stand. Now, there's a new study in the Journal of Pediatrics that reports that how severe the concussion symptoms your child is having and the grade level of the child affect how well they do when returning to school after a concussion. So these are researchers from the Children's National Health System, and they studied students ages 5 to 18 to look at the impact of concussions on their academic performance. They found that the more severe the concussion was, the more directly related to academic performance problems it could be. So 88% of the children who were not fully recovered still had problems with concentration, headaches, and fatigue. 77% of those same children had problems taking notes, took longer to complete homework, and had trouble studying. Now, it seemed to impact high schoolers more greatly than other ages, but it's hard to say exactly why, and it's possible because they do tend to have more schoolwork and homework. Not entirely sure why. So let's back up really quickly. What's a concussion? Remember, a concussion is a brain injury. It's caused by a fall or a blow to the head, or just a bump that causes the brain and the head to move back and forth really rapidly and can cause injury to the brain. Symptoms can include headache, blurry vision, dizziness, nausea, balance problems, and the child may report that they have a sensitivity or pain from light or noise that can cause them to have a headache. And they may just be kind of irritable. They may seem a little bit sad. They may just have low energy or sleep issues. And those symptoms can last for days to weeks. So if a child is having those symptoms, it means that they still have the concussion. So what's a key takeaway? One is prevention. We need to work more and more and more to make sure that we're keeping at a minimum how many children are having concussions in the first place. And secondly is monitoring them and when to return to school, when to return to sports. Be sure to monitor them. If they're having any of these symptoms, keep a close eye because if not treated and if a child has a second concussion, can have even more damage to their academic performance and life in general. Another article on adolescents, and this was the adolescent's brain on alcohol. So we looked at adolescent brain and concussions, now on alcohol, and how that impact of alcohol can last them in adulthood. We see a lot of adolescents drinking alcohol thinking it's not going to affect them. This study says otherwise. This was research from Duke Medical School, has looked at the impacts on the brain for an adolescent exposure to alcohol. They said that alcohol at this age is occurring before the brain's fully developed, and it can literally cause changes in the cellular makeup and connections in the brain. That can have harmful consequences on their behavior as an adolescent and as an adult. Now, there's researchers are saying that the brain develops into your mid-20s. It's really one of the last organs to fully develop. And heavy drinking before it's fully formed can have lasting impact on memory and cognitive functions. They show that people can have decreased memory, impulsiveness, and even increased emotionality. They found that alcohol consumption during adolescence specifically affects an area of the brain that is crucial to learning new tasks and building memories. Especially important for adolescents as they're acquiring so much information and that they need to memorize during the transition to adulthood. So what's a key takeaway? Adolescent brains are even more vulnerable to the effects of alcohol than adults, and really important to minimize or eliminate any alcohol exposure as that brain is developing, because it will truly have permanent consequences. Now, this next study, there's been so much discussion. I feel like there's so many more children who have allergies nowadays. Every school now has an allergy table and has to be so cognizant of it. And we are all continually trying to look at what is causing all of these allergies. So this study was new research from Canada showing that exposure to air pollution outdoors in the first year of life can increase the risk of developing allergies to food, mold, pets, and even insects. Now, they measured the traffic-related air pollution levels at each child's home address and also factored in time spent elsewhere, like at daycare, and they also even looked at the home's ventilation system. Interestingly, while the study found this link between traffic-related air pollution and an increased risk of allergies, they also found that those children who lived with furry pets and didn't have an attached garage were less likely to develop allergies. So what's a key takeaway? Some exposures, like living with a furry pet, could be protective against allergies, while others, such as traffic pollution, can worsen the risk. Not sure why one is beneficial, one is more harmful, but it really does seem to be a pattern that we're seeing evolve. The benefits of living with a furry pet and the harms of traffic pollution on children. Another study on children, and this one was about whooping cough, and it's actually a condition that affects children, it affects adults, affects all of us, and the study was finding that the effectiveness of the vaccine wanes over time. Now, this was a study out of Washington State, and they noted that the current vaccine for pertussis or whooping cough may lose efficacy as quickly as 2 to 4 years after receiving the vaccine. They looked because of the Washington State pertussis epidemic of 2012, which was the worst they'd had since 1942. And they found that the vaccine known as Tdap, and that stands for tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis, efficacy wanes sharply in the teens, even if you're fully immunized as a child. They said that it was 73% effective in the first year, but declined sharply after that. Now, remember, pertussis is a highly contagious disease that causes severe coughing that can make it difficult to breathe. It's often characterized by that distinctive whooping sound made by children trying to get in air. Prior to 1997, the vaccine contained a different version. It was the whole cell pertussis vaccine. But due to concerns for reactions to the whole cell shots, in 1997, they changed that and released an acellular vaccine. Now, while that new form has fewer side effects, it also now appears to have less long-term efficacy. So what's a key takeaway? It's still crucial to get the vaccine. Non-immunized infants, young infants, are often the most susceptible to pertussis, and in them, it's truly life-threatening. Until a better vaccine is developed, the CDC and doctors still recommend a pertussis vaccination also during the third trimester of pregnancy, because that can give those newborns just a little bit of effectiveness and immunity. Also recommend that everybody continues to follow the recommended regimen in childhood, but be cognizant that it does wear off. Know when your last vaccine immunization was, because it's probably going to mean that we'll need to make sure we're getting our boosters more frequently. Now, there you have it, the top health news you'll need to know for this week. For more health news throughout the week, follow me on Twitter at my handle, at Dr. Daria, and at ShareCare Inc., our ShareCare handle. You're currently listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for tuning in, and stay well.